Good morning. So this morning we are reading from Luke chapter 24, verse 50 to 53. And covering the subject of areas to grow in, and specifically, this is the physical earth suit, general need, right? All right, Lord. Verse 52. And they worshipped him. I think in today's world it's really easy to worship other things without realizing that you worship them. You can see how people elevate above anything else their things, themselves, their looks. They elevate their sports teams. They elevate so many different aspects of their lives, and they elevate them above God. In other words, they see worshiping God as being something different from what they do on a day-to-day basis, whereby they place something as great and high importance. Because that's effectively what worshiping is, right? And then they've relegated this concept of worship to, okay, you can only really do it in church because you worship him because you get together and you pray and you praise, and that is worshiping. Yes, that is worshiping, but that's not worship in its entirety. Worship is something you do in your heart. It is when your attitude changes to say that the one being worshipped is the key to everything that you are. And some people worship their cars, their, you know, they say, well, I don't know what I would do without my car. I don't know what I would do without this. I don't know what I would do. The minute you start to say, I don't know what I would do without, you are elevating that thing to a position of such importance that you begin to worship it. Now, that position belongs to God. And only he can actually provide what you really need. Satan will provide you tons of other things, but not what you need. Because he's really not interested in you making it into eternity in heaven. He wants you to be destroyed and to lead as many people into destruction as he can get you to do that. Now, the backstory to this is Jesus has died, being sacrificed. He has risen again. He has been seen by a number of them. He then appeared to many. And at this point, he's about to leave and return to the Father. Now, Jesus is going to leave in such a way that you can see him leave, right? When we look at the death of someone, they leave. They leave their physical body behind and they leave. The only thing is you don't see them physically leave. You can't see with your physical eyes them actually separating and moving up. Or, as in some cases, being taken away by evil entities, right? We can't see that part. And so, because we can't see that part, what we can see is, for those who have seen a person die and leave, is their light behind their eyes just, it darkens and it goes. And that's the only way that you know that they've actually left. Eyes are remaining open, but they are no longer there. The physical body is completely unresponsive. Now, your physical body can also operate as a physical body, but without you in it. Right? We know people have had out-of-body experiences when something terrible has been going on with their body through some major trauma or whatever, and they are out of it. And they view their body from a distance or something to that effect. Right? And so, yes, you can be out. Dangerous, because other things can enter while you're not in. Right? So you don't want to leave your house. That's why transcendental meditation is so dangerous. And astral travel is so dangerous. Because you allow other things to enter your body and live alongside you. And at times they just take over and do whatever they want, right? It is a means to be possessed. And you can be set free from that by asking Jesus to drive anything that might have entered into you, drive it away. In Jesus' name. Now, when you have a look at this section, we need to recognize that when Jesus leaves, he leaves with a very special message, right? And so we're going to read this through, but then we're going to go through to Acts just to see a little bit more detail about what took place here. So, we start from verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Now remember, Bethany is where he raised Lazarus from the dead. Bethany is the place where Lazarus and his sisters Martha and Mary lived. Bethany is where he healed Simon the leper. But Bethany is also known for its figs. And it is also at the base of the Mount of Olives, between Jerusalem. And so this place, it's only about 3 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. It's not a long walk. And from this place is where we see Jesus doing the following, right? So we start again. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Because that's the end of the book of Luke, right? Well, we'll go to Acts. Now, we know Acts was also written by Luke. So we'll go to Acts. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 11, we get more detail around this ascension, right? And specifically, from verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, he left from Bethany, right? Now, when we have a look at the angel in the book of Revelation, who will come down and put his one foot on the sea and the other on the Mount of Olives, he will be basically straddling Bethany, the same place. So it is a very significant thing that God leaves through Jesus, leaves that place. And he says he's coming back to that place. And we can expect him to come back to that place. And so a lot of people are watching to see what is going to take place around there. And of course, this is one of the reasons why it's such a contested place. Satan does not want Jesus coming back. But he knows where Jesus will come back to. And so he's done all he can to try and destabilize Jerusalem and take over Israel. And he's done this through the centuries to try and take it over to stop Jesus from coming back. Right? Of course, he's not going to be able to do that. But you know what? In the meantime, as he does this, he draws many into his trap of evil, right? And unfortunately, a lot of people fall away into his deception. Now, from a physical perspective, it's important to understand where you're going. And you also need to understand where you're going to meet when you come back. And so a lot of times when people say, I'm going somewhere, they don't say, I will be back here, or I will be there, or I will meet you at this place. Because with the advent of cell phones, people have now reduced their communication to discuss the first leg of their journey. I will be going to the shops. From there, they don't really know where they're going to be going next. They may think, well, I might be going here, I might be going there, or something else might crop up and I'll suddenly head off in another direction. And so they leave that second part completely open. And what this does to a society and to a family is it brings a situation of uncertainty. And this leaves the people staying behind wondering, when is this person going to be back? Now, in the days when we did not have cell phones, if you said that you were going to be somewhere, you were at that place. And you were at that place at that time. And if you, for some reason, had some major traumatic event on the way that blocked you from getting there, you apologized for being late. But you never changed your plan. If you had a plan to see somebody at a certain time, certain place, then that's what you did. And other things could crop up and you might want to talk to somebody, but you have a plan and you are working that plan. You will get back to these people because they have a need. They have a need to be able to know when you are going to be back. Not out of fear of maybe something would go wrong, but more a case of they have lives too, and they need to be able to get on with their life, but also intersect with yours at the right time. It is real planning, and a lot of people don't do that planning anymore. But this is the physical side, right? Spiritually speaking, God could tell you to turn left and you're going to turn left. One of the reasons why Christians are a real problem for AI, because Christians don't follow logic. They follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So how do you balance this need to be able to provide certainty with following the Holy Spirit? There's this word, God willing. God willing, I will be able to do this. God willing, I will be able to do that. And you bring God into your conversation right up front. So the person knows this is your intention, this is your desire, but if God chooses to do something different, that's what's going to happen. And they then also know that they are not your top priority. God is your top priority. And this helps to allow people to recognize that things might not work the way that they see it, the way that they would like it to happen. But it's definitely going to work the way God wants it to happen. Because the person is aligned with what the Lord is wanting. Now, in the case of people leaving, it's generally speaking very sudden. Even when you know the person is dying in hospital, it's still some form of a shock. Because it's not something that you can start over or do again or repeat or whatever. It's now gone. It's gone. Gone is gone is gone. Right? But from an earth suit perspective, that goneness is a finality, which is why people take out insurance and all these kinds of things, is because they're afraid, right? Reality is, Jesus didn't have insurance, neither did the disciples. Nobody had insurance, right? They didn't insure themselves for things. They left it in the Lord's hands. But the point is, a lot of people are afraid and they're living from the perspective of the earth suit. And so they take out these insurances and all that, and all it does is deplete their cash flow from doing the things that they could do. Right. Bottom line is, if you're going to live an evil life, yes, you probably need insurance, because God is not supporting what you're doing, and you're not going to find any support from Him when you leave, right? But for those who belong to the Lord, it's a case of, when you leave, understand that it's not a goodbye. It is a, I'll see you later. And it's important to recognize that although your earth suit will not see you later, you, the spirit, will see the other spirits later. Now, we know that there are statements in the Bible that indicate that from that side, they can see this side. The best explanation that I've had is, if you take a flat piece of paper and you draw a picture of two people on it, two flat people, call them Mr. and Mrs. Flat, right? They live in a two-dimensional world. And because they live in a two-dimensional world, they don't have time, so they're stuck in a moment of time. And because they don't have time, they can't move it. The picture is static, right? They also are two-dimensional, so they don't have height, so they couldn't sit up or anything like that. Sitting anywhere requires time, but the point is that they can't protrude from the flat surface. Nevertheless, this two-dimensional piece of paper is maybe stuck to your fridge in your kitchen because it was drawn by one of your grandchildren or your children or whatever the case is, and it is sitting there. You can see it, but in their two-dimensional world, they cannot see you because they don't have the capability that you have, right? Now, one would say, oh, yeah, but they're inanimate objects. Well, to a certain extent, there's a certain amount of truth to that. Nevertheless, they're capturing a moment in time where the heart of the child was drawing something to communicate a message to the parents or whomever this was given to. Right? And so there is an element of something that you can't really put your finger on. But it can't see you. You can see it. Now you're getting on with your life. You're busy doing everything. But every now and again, you'll notice it. And so it's in the same way, it's not that you are being the object of everybody's inspection, but from that side, they can see what's going on this side, right? Not that they can do anything, because once you leave your body, you are outside the physical realm, you can't do anything, right? The angels, on the other hand, can, but they can only do what the Father tells them that they can do. Because the Father has to give them the power to do whatever it is that he is telling them to do. Right? Yes, they've got free will, but if they don't have a mandate, if they don't have the authority to do something, they're not able to carry something out. So, when you now have a look at this statement of the angel saying that he'll come back in like manner, in the same way he's leaving, he's coming back. But we also know that Jesus said that when he returns, everybody will know. It will be like the lightning that travels from the east to the west. You would be able to see everything. But it's not just a seeing with your eyes. It would be an internal knowing. You just know he's here. And it's that knowing that he's returning is why they were able to worship him. It's why they could return into Jerusalem with great joy. It's why they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. It's because they knew he was coming back. But they also knew that there would be those who would depart, right? Leave their bodies and go to be with him in heaven. Right. So let's read this again. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Well, I'm not sure what Holy Spirit's saying to you guys, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, then make your keywords in the second column and score yourself in the right. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.